Welcome to the Fearless Sellers, the Women of Amazon podcast. I'm Joey Roberts.
Morning as well. All right, Joey Roberts, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. A little bit sick, but I'm fine.
Right, aren't we all?
Where are you from?
I live in Austin, Texas, but I grew up in San Diego.
Nice. I've been in Austin, Texas, I think last year in one of the Amazon events. It was pretty nice. I actually like it.
It is. Yeah. It's a great place. Y'all should come here.
I live in Miami. I love Miami, by the way.
Yes. People who live in Miami do love Miami. I like Miami too. I could live there. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah. I mean, you cannot compare the weather with San Francisco, but it's still nice.
Yeah. So, San Diego. Yeah.
So Joy, from my understanding, you are Amazon seller and a coach. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes. I've been selling for about 4 years, maybe 5 years, almost 5 years. And I've been coaching Amazon sellers for about 2.5 years.
Okay. Which one you like more, coaching or actually selling?
Depends on the day. Blessed to have both, because it's like, it's, you know, it's always up and down.
Yeah, I totally agree. I am seller myself as well, and I also help people through community. We do podcasts, we do classes, and selling, it's challenging. You know, it's a lot of changes, a lot of ups and downs, and it's never boring. You know, there's always something new. So the topic that I have for today is coming up with testing and a winning products to sell on Amazon.
Cool.
I think it's a great topic. So let's start from the beginning. What is your method of analyzing and researching the products?
I would love to be like, hey, you got to be so passionate about your product. And right now I do sell a product that I'm passionate about, but my first brand that I built from zero to a million in 12 months, I was not crazy about the product. So I just want all of your listeners to know that you don't have to absolutely be like enthralled in your product and love it. So I challenge everybody to really look at what is a good product for them to sell as far as price point, categories that are good for what they're, for what's going on in the economy, I would say, and for what is going really well for Amazon, top categories, and make a list of ideas. And it can be full of passions and it can be full of products that they think that they can win at. And I like products like that, that have really good margins. So that brings me to my point of, you don't have to be in love with necessarily your product. You have to be proud of it. Okay. And the way that I go about finding that, there's several different ways. I love to look at trends on Pinterest. So if you go to like trends.pinterest.com, I like to see what is trending because Pinterest is ahead of the curve. So you could look right now on trends.pinterest.com. And this is different than just going to Pinterest and shopping boards. Like you have to go into trends to see what is actually trending like 6 weeks, like several months ahead. And that can help you figure out like, hey, what if I want to launch in 3 to 4 months, what products should I look at? So I like to always start on Pinterest. I check out Etsy and I do use tools. I use Helium 10 and I will drill into the features, the filters, I mean, on Helium 10. So that's kind of my, where I start. And for where I'm at now selling, I have a women's health brand.
Okay.
And now I just try to stay only in women's health. I try not like put my blinders on, not get distracted. It's very hard, but I'm trying to just.
It is very hard.
Right. I mean, do you just sell in one brand too?
No, I'm actually don't. I had my private label and I sold it in 2020. And I currently, what I do is I partner up with brands and I launch them on Amazon.
Okay.
So let's say there's a big brand in South America and they don't have present on e-commerce yet, or maybe they do, but not well done. And that's what I'm doing right now. So I call it hybrid wholesaling. So it's kind of you do private label stuff, but it's not your brand, but you still use all the tools and all the knowledge that you need to know for a private label, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then you get that fulfillment of like being able to dabble in lots of different categories.
Right.
That's like the challenge for me is like when I get frustrated because it's hard, like with my private label brand, the women's health stuff, I'm like, ooh, I should sell over here in pets, or I should come up with this kitchen gadget. I'm like, no, let's not do that. Let's stay in my brand and build it. Because similar to you, the first brand I built was outdoor sports, and I just stayed in outdoor sports and I built that one past a million, and then I was able to exit that in 2021.
Interesting. Right in the pandemic, right? In 2021. Mine was right before the pandemic. I sold it right before the pandemic, which I think it was a blessing because after that there was a lot of supply issues and yeah, you could sell out all your inventory because it was very short. Everybody was short on inventory, but then the production, it was an issue with the production. So the people who bought it from us struggle a lot. So, I mean, I don't want to. But I guess I was lucky, you know.
What category was it?
Supplements. This is one of the protein that was ours. It's a supplement brand. So we had protein. We had like 40 different SKUs with counting flavors and all that.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, and we sold it in 2020 to one of our large Colombian client. And yeah. I mean, they struggle a lot with the manufacturing because of this COVID situation that happened right after, you know. One of the things that you mentioned, I think, is very interesting, the price point. You know, what is the price point now with all the new fees and new regulations and stuff that Amazon implementing? And it's, I guess, the price point is increasing all the time. So I would like your take out on the price point currently that should have your product.
Yes, there is a balancing act between price and I recommend now. I would say a couple of years ago, I was like, you want to sell a minimum of $25. I would say now you want to sell at a minimum of $35 because of fees, margin. You don't want to be competing too much on price. But today, it's the balance between being priced competitively and your margin, of course, but also being able to get sales because everybody still wants a deal. And Amazon is, you know, does mess with your fees a lot and it goes up and down. And then maybe one month your FBA fees will be high and then you'll see them shift down and then they'll go back up. So I like to have a lot of room for error. So my big selling product in the brand that I exited, that one, I actually launched that one around $200. And then by the time I sold, exited the company, that same exact product, I was able to push up to $400. And this is retail price on Amazon. I was buying it from my supplier anywhere from like $40 to $60. So I had a really healthy margin. And Amazon.
What is the healthy margin in your opinion is, you know?
Yeah. So. I would say anything above 35% is good,
35%.
but I like my margins personally to be 60 to 70%. And
Oh,
that
wow.
comes when you're selling more expensive products. And actually, like some of the stuff I sell now has like a 60% margin, but you can't come out of the gate like that. It's you launch around 35%, I think, is good. Some people, depending on the competitiveness of the product, might want to break even. I support all methods. I just want to see sellers selling products that are going to give them enough margin for their marketing to test things out and also to make mistakes. Because I made plenty of mistakes my first year of selling. And the reason my company was still so successful is because I had that healthy margin.
Right. You also mentioned trending products. Aren't you afraid of those? I mean, I personally stay away from those because trending products can be amazing, but also can be really bad. Because once you maybe found the manufacturer, import your product, start positioning your product, and the trending is gone, you know? So,
Right. So you need to be ahead of the trend, and that's why I like trends.pinterest.com. I don't look at what's trending already on Amazon because that's come and gone. You're in the past.
okay.
Pinterest is ahead of the game, so that's why I like trends.pinterest.com because they'll show you what search volume is going up and up in the future for anywhere from 6 weeks to a few months down the road. Now, on your point of too much competition for trending products, I focus so much on standing out from the competition. Like, find your angle to stand out completely. I love like that you did supplements, right? Because just standing the your label stands out alone. And that is like I have the same, I sell this right here. And like my label stands out against competitors. And then it's going to be eye-catching. They'll come in and see what marketing language I have that makes me better than my competitors. And I do, I mean, this lotion I sell is very competitive. And that's why I work so hard on the packaging design. It's not the same for every single product. But yeah, standing out from your competition and making improvements. And you, I'm sure you experienced that with the supplement brand.
Yeah, our biggest advantage was, which we really work on it, is flavoring. We try to do, because we cannot compete with the price and we couldn't compete with the best quality because there's huge brands were in the market. So what we try to do is to have a really nice flavor, you know? And a couple of products of our brand was star, you know, because of the flavor. Like we had a very nice BCA, amazing flavor. We also had one of the proteins, like really good flavoring. So that's what really stand out. But in general, our category was very competitive, you know. So we really had to like, you know, think how to be different. And again, one of the things that we found was flavor, and of course, labeling the packaging, that was also one of the way of differentiate.
So how do you convey flavor if it's on Amazon? Because you're not handing out samples. Like they have to take a chance on
Right.
you.
Yeah, the good thing that we were not just selling on Amazon. We were also doing retail stores, and we also were doing international sales like Colombia, Mexico. So that will really help us to position the brand. You know, it was not only Amazon. Amazon was one of the channels, but once you have that outside demand, it helps a lot on Amazon because now people looking for the products on Amazon, the one that they tried in the store, you know. So it's that's why there's a lot of brands start from the retail and then they go to e-commerce. The other way around is usually a lot more harder in the category that is very competitive.
True. I agree with that.
So, can you walk us through your process for developing the product concept into the market ready for offering to Amazon?
Sure. I think right from the beginning, you have to dig in to competition's pain points and know how your product is going to be better than other products. And this can be it with all the products you're just researching and the list of ideas you're making. Find out what are the negative reviews, 1 and 2 star reviews of your competitors. Make the note and then use that to improve the product. An example is I have a wallpaper company and there's these wall tiles that I sold, and they're made of bagasse, which is a natural fiber, and it looks like cardboard. And it's a really classy material, but it's the color of cardboard. And I was digging into some competitor reviews, and they're saying, oh, well, this just looks like cardboard, but the material is great. And so, right there, I thought, well, it's not hard to make this white or black or blue or red. So, I found a way to just paint them package them up, and then sell them as white and black. So I was the only one who was doing that at the time. And it's so simple, and I only figured it out because it was in the competitor review. So right there for me, it validated that there was a need for that change. And then also I validated it on whatever software tools I was using at the time to make sure it had the search volume, it had enough monthly revenue coming in that I could get a piece of the pie. And then I was like, I'm gonna do it. And so yeah, then I launch. Now, if you want to talk about your supplier, we can dig into that. I also want to just say it, you do want to be meticulous and take time to pick your supplier because that is an extension of your business. It's like you're picking a business partner.
Right.
And if you get that supplier to partner with you from the beginning, the rest of your selling journey is so much easier. And I learned because I had so many inventory challenges in 2021, and you were talking about that. Supply and demand was rough, and I had heavy, heavy products that had to be put on a ship and sent over, from China over to the port of Houston. So I leaned on my supplier relationships as best I could. And that's probably another reason I was able to make it, although I had to hustle a lot. Because even when I ran out of inventory, I can't just call China and be like, hey, could you get that here tomorrow?
Right. What is your strategy as well for positioning the product? Let's say you already have the supplier, you know what the product is gonna be, you have the product already in your warehouse or why not? What is the next step in order to start an Amazon, the listing?
You definitely start with the problem you're solving, right? Like, why do these shoppers need your product? Like, how are you making people's lives better? And I would say on Amazon, it shifted a lot over the past years where people care more about the brand. Like, they want to know the brand story. When I started selling, nobody cared. And now there's just so much with the brand story. And it might be that I sell in a different category, but I get so many calls and emails. So I work very hard on just being authentic and opening up about why I created this product and why this product is not necessarily better than the competitors. I don't like putting anybody down, but why this product will connect with the buyer versus anybody else's. And I think that that is those little things will give you a leg up on the competition. And reviews matter. Amazon's very strict on reviews. And so if you can get reviews and people to love your product, like brand enthusiasts, and that trickles into like user-generated content, I definitely go that route as well. Especially when you're launching like your first like 3 months of selling a product, you want to get your positive reviews and get your brand story out there so that people like you.
So one of the points that you focus on is the reviews to make sure that the reviews are good and trying to give the story of your brand out there so people basically attract to the Amazon listings in this case. Had you have any issue with the product? Let's say you launched the product and you're having a bad reviews, and what was your solution for that?
Yeah, it happens to all of us. And you can't, anyone who says they don't get bad reviews, like it just happens. Maybe they're not selling enough product then. It hurts when you get a bad review. And I've been selling a while now, and it still just like really hurts. And my initial reaction is like, oh, let's just sweep that under the rug, or I'll bury it with more positive reviews. But the best way to approach it is to think about the negative review. Is this something you can improve on? Is this something that needs to be part of your brand story? Do you need to address this in an FAQ? Like, what do you need to do about the review? And sometimes it's also just adding more information to your product detail page. So I really encourage every brand to use A plus content and then unlock your premium A plus content. And one thing I will say, when I've gotten bad reviews right out of the gate with a new product, it makes me feel like like, wait, I shouldn't be doing this, scratch this product, I'm going to relaunch or not do it. But you just ride the wave and you push through it and keep going, because the more people who get your product and the more you can improve on your product, your sales will go up and everything will improve. There are so many people shopping on Amazon that these like 1, 2, 3 star, or sorry, 1, 2, 3 bad reviews, like those are just a tiny amount of people.
What was your biggest challenge since you started your journey on Amazon?
I'd say the biggest challenge that cost me the most money was the inventory challenges of growing too quickly in 2021. Inventory management, forecasting. I learned a lot about forecasting also. Because when I was buying especially expensive inventory and writing those big checks was very painful, right? Because it's like you see all this money in your Amazon account. I'm like, okay. You know, I do have to pay some people on my team, and then I have to write these inventory checks in the lag time with Amazon. So I learned a hard lesson with running out of inventory. I think when they were doing the valuation of my company, it was like $80,000 was lost for how much I ran out of stock, even though I think in total I was probably only out of stock maybe 10 or 12 days, but over those periods, it was like $80,000 that I could have added to the top line.
How did you find the solution for that problem?
No,
Or you still ch have that challenge?
I'm good now. I'm actually way ahead of my inventory now, and I forecast very well. So I have my Excel sheets, and I dig in and I forecast and I work backwards. And you know, Amazon, as you know, I think it's May 1st, is doing the low inventory fees.
Right.
So I'm going to be on top of that because I don't want to get hit with a low inventory fee.
I mean,
I feel
you're still gonna get hit. It just depends on how much inventory do you have. You get less fee, you know, but you're still gonna get hit with the low inventory fee. It's just gonna be the more inventory you have, the less fee is gonna be. But at the end, it's still, I think minimum is like 32 cents per unit. So it's additional fee.
Well, I used to only be like 6 weeks ahead of my inventory right now. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be 3 months ahead. So
Okay.
I have more.
That
I
was
mean,
my next question. What is your planning for the inventory? I mean, how much inventory do you usually have in stock?
I like to cut it close, but not anymore. So I'm definitely going
Right.
to be 3 months ahead. Right now, my top seller is manufactured in Arizona. So I have that advantage as well.
Okay. So that's good. So you have a local, well, not local, domestic
Yes.
manufacturer.
I have other suppliers that I work with. One's in the Ukraine, one is in China, and I did a little bit in Mexico. And the one in the Ukraine actually will fly the inventory to my house and I will just hold the inventory so I have it here. And then same with China, I can put the stuff in China actually on air freight, like a small amount. So I have probably 500 units of all my products I have sitting in my house.
Okay. That's great. How do you stay informed about emerging changes in the consumer behavior within the Amazon marketplace?
I think living and breathing Amazon every day, I'm like over-informed. Selling on Amazon, and I know there's so many newsletters and great things, and I have a podcast and I love your podcast. But I think it's very important for all sellers to pay attention to their Seller Central account. And on the right-hand side, there's news and updates. And it's on your dashboard. So when you open that, just pay attention to it. And I don't act on everything right away. Like when Amazon launches a new program or something, I don't take advantage of it right away. I like to watch and see how it unfolds. And I'll read the forums of people's experience. And that's really how I learn And I'll test stuff out. I test out all advertising. I think those are fun. I'm doing display ads right now, and I'll test out any new ad things that I can, because that stuff is good. But when it's like logistics or this, I watch and learn.
What inspires you to pursue the career as an Amazon seller and how it impacts your life?
Freedom, right? That's what I was really great in the corporate world. I loved my corporate jobs. I just wanted more freedom. I wanted to spend more time working out. I wanted to see my friends more. I'm a mom, spend more time with my family. And I did kind of feel a little guilty when I left the corporate world. Like, oh, I'm a woman. I should be like climbing the corporate ladder. And it fulfilled a big part of me. And then my Amazon business really did take on a life of its own, to where it replaced my income and it needed so much of my time. So that was motivating. And I haven't looked back since, right? I'm like all in on all things Amazon. I think when people commit to e-commerce and selling products online, you just become more knowledgeable, which will lead to your success, whatever success is to you. To me, it's freedom for my time.
Joy Roberts, thank you very much. I appreciate for your time and for your knowledge. Thank you to be with us.
Thank you for having me.
If you're already selling on Amazon or you're looking to get started and you want my help, go to amzfearless.com to book a free strategy selling session. We can see if we can help you out. That's amzfearless.com. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Fearless Sellers, the Women of Amazon podcast. Until next time, stay fearless.